Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Thank you guys for preparing our hearts this morning, leading us. What a special time. I'm delighted and honored to be with y'all today to share for a few minutes some of our journey and what we do in disaster relief. It was a mid-spring afternoon, late afternoon. I don't remember the day of the week. That's unimportant. I was a young pastor. We had just conducted a funeral service for a church member, and we were gathering together in the cemetery for a few moments there. As we moved from the church over there to the cemetery, just a short walk, the skies we noticed were extremely dark and threatening. And having a good college and seminary degree, I deducted we better do this real quick. And we did that. Hardly before I got home, we began to hear reports of a tornado and damage in the Lawrence area of the upstate. Over the next few hours, we learned of severe damage in the Winnsboro part of South Carolina, here in the Midlands. Destroyed a high school, much damage there. And by later that evening, that tornado had departed from South Carolina through a little town community called McCall. And it was there in McCall that close to a dozen people lost their lives. In the coming weeks, bulldozers did what they needed to do in McCall, South Carolina, clearing debris, hauling off what remained of people's lives. God stirred in my heart to go down there some weeks and weeks later when the rebuild process began, when it was underway, and I connected with a friend there, a gentleman that helped me to understand some of what would be taking place as they began to assist people in restoring their lives, rebuilding their lives, and trying to recover in that small community. Fast forward, if you will, 5 years to 1989, when the state of South Carolina literally was brought to its knees at the hands of one Hurricane Hugo that impacted virtually every county of this state. For my wife and I, living in the northern part of Kershaw County, we watched the sun rise after that night of being battered by the winds. And we said, well, the roof is still on the house. There's no apparent damage here. It was a fairly new parsonage that the church had built, not even a year old. I said, it doesn't look too bad. There's pine tops out here and in the yard and stuff like that. But I looked the 100-yard distance down to the church there, and I said, well, it seems like the church is fine, but hold on, wait just a minute. Something's missing. And I said, I wonder where the steeple is. And it was laying over to the side. And we began a journey there. That day ended with us putting our two preschool sons in the car with my wife and trying to get them from that direct experience with Hurricane Hugo back to grandparents in the upstate, where they stayed for 2 or 3 weeks. Ensuing months, we were involved and engaged in that recovery effort in our own community, unaware of what was going on across the state of South Carolina. You just took care of your little world, and you focused on your community. That was the birth of South Carolina Baptist Disaster Relief. It was Hugo. We had no literal presence as such, but we count 1989, that September, as the birth of the beginning, if you will, of our engagement in disaster relief. So it's been a while, for me some 30 years, and I can just about tell you every possible mistake that you can make I've made, we have made collectively. But God, in spite of that, has blessed us and enables us to go from ground zero to one of the leading states among the Southern Baptist conventions, some 42 conventions in our country. And that's a God thing, particularly given South Carolina, the size state that we are, the number of churches we have here, resources here, populations, church members, and those kinds of things. It's a God story from beginning to end. Our motivation for what we do and what God stirred in my heart as a young pastor, it's never left me. In the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel, the latter part in there, it's a lengthy chapter, a lot of good lessons, but there's a section in there that talks about a division or a separation or a judgment, if you will, of the sheep and the goats. And if you read that lengthy text, you will discover that that division, that process of being judged, if you will, took place over and because of and as a result of what you did or did not do. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I lacked clothing and you clothed me. I was sick and you came and you took care of me. I was in prison. You came to me. I was a stranger and you brought me in. Part of that group, the sheep, had done that. They were welcomed into the presence of our Savior and our Lord. Others had failed to do that unto the least of these, and they were rejected. They were judged for failing to live out their faith. That has been foundational all of my life for what we do in disaster relief. And then it's stirred on, and the amen to that text is what James speaks to my heart about when he says, I want you to do more than just listen to the word and hear the word. I want you to actually do something with what you hear. I want you to live it out, and I'd like for you to put it into practice. Now, I'll confess that I've spent more of my life being a pastor here in the state of South Carolina and doing this disaster relief stuff than I have done in the years that I've done it with our North American Mission Board over in Atlanta or with our South Carolina network here. But it was still no less the same, the call of God to be involved and see what He was doing. It's been a great journey to me. It's been one that's impacted family. It's impacted a lot of church folks. And you've heard, I'm so thrilled to be working with Michelle and directions and going forward in this coming Saturday morning's training and coming back for that. But 2 weeks from this coming Saturday, 2 weeks ago, we were with 902 college students at Kingston Plantation at Myrtle Beach for a weekend retreat called Converge. And we did mud out training there just like we will do it this coming weekend. I'm thrilled to be in that journey, along this journey and this pilgrimage of watching God work. I'm thrilled to watch and work with college students. My wife and I have been privileged when we did this for the first time. It was with Liberty University. Y'all know that little school up the road, up the coast a little bit. We had a couple of hundred university students from Liberty University come and join us in a pilot project when we were trying to help after a flood in Binghamton, New York. And it was a great experience, except for the fact they came on chartered buses, okay? Buses and mission trips don't go hand in hand real well. Who's top dog here? This is my only time I've ever been here. I'm never going to be back. Who's your president? Okay. 42 people on a bus and you want to drop them off at 8 different houses to work. Chartered buses don't work real good, but by the grace of God, we were able to watch God work and use those students, and time and time and time since then, I love it. Listen, look at me. I'm old. I'm older than your mom and your daddy, right? I'm your grandpa, okay? But that's who most of us are doing this stuff. You come along with a strong back and you haven't learned yet that this is dirty work, I'm going to welcome you with open arms, okay? And we have done that. I go back and I think of, it'll soon be 3 years ago, When we were working here in Columbia after the 15 flood, how many of you were students here in 2015? Okay, we've still got you. We got some of those that are going to be 5-year, 6-year, 7-year students here. Is that right? Okay, I went down that road too. But I remember in those weeks and days, that I'm not sure you could get to your campus. You had a mess down here coming off 20, right, in the low spot. And we were like 3 weeks later discovering there were entire housing areas that had been cut off. You could not get to them. So we don't have to ride halfway across the country to find disasters anymore. That we've had more disasters here in South Carolina related to tornadoes this past fall than one of our camps up in Spartanburg. They said they've had more in 3 weeks' time than they'd had in the past 30 years combined. Okay? There are things right here taking place. And in the midst of that, God gives to you and to me the opportunity to go out and literally be the hands and the feet of Jesus, engage people where they are, offer them help for free, which they can't comprehend. And in the process of doing that, watch the Holy Spirit touch your heart, speak to their hearts, open their heart's door to this which we hold dearest to us, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they will invariably ask me, our volunteers, our workers, why are you doing this? Who has paid you to do this? Why did you come from South Carolina to wherever it is we have gone? Why have you done this? And when they ask that why question, we take them lovingly, but most directly, to our faith in Jesus Christ and the hope that we have. That's why we do it. There is no paycheck coming from the state. There's nothing coming from FEMA or Homeland Security. Our rewards are eternal. That's why we do what we do. I want to run through these slides here real very, very quickly and just let you get a glimpse of some of what we do and how we make this happen. That's our office over here on Stone Ridge. It's just across from the zoo here in Columbia, and that's where I'm officed. Get to be office there and then from home as well. We do a lot of different things up here and what we're doing. This is just a summary of some of the last year's 2017 stuff. You see those, the outbreak of tornadoes that we had here last spring, beginning out to the east of Columbia and Ward Johnston area. We had the hurricanes Harvey and then Irma in Florida, followed by Maria in Puerto Rico. Our Puerto Rican response, because of all of the challenges, we've done international responses just about around the world and been more successful at it than we could do Puerto Rico, because of the magnitude of need. We pulled our hair out over that one, okay? And Texas, we watched that unfold. We watched week after week after week of the flood and the opportunities that God gave us to partner, we do that. We're volunteers. If God gives us a means to go and to share, it can sometimes be across the street, across the road, in another county right here in South Carolina, but oftentimes it's to another state. Because Florida was so much closer, we had many, many more people that volunteered to go down and help with the Irma response. Let me tell you about one of those stories there. We worked in kind of central Florida. We had a few folks go way down south, but we worked primarily in the Jacksonville area. Jacksonville was impacted by wind, yes, trees come down, all of that, but it was largely impacted in the most severe manner through the storm surge. It came into the bay and just inundated places. I've never seen anything like it in my life. But when we were there, we had opportunity to try to engage those people. We met one gentleman named Mr. John Gordon, a gentleman in his 80s. He never came. We never literally met him face to face or talked with him. We had volunteer teams that included students just like you guys that came and helped him start the process after his home had flooded of getting everything out of his house. I mean, you gut the house. You take it down to the stud walls. There's nothing left there, nothing on the floor, nothing on the walls, certainly no contents or anything left there. We had that happen, and because his house was so large and so severely damaged, it was more than one team could do in a week. So a second team was back there. Mr. John, we were told, had only returned to his house for 15 minutes after the waters had receded. And emotionally, it was difficult for him to look at. Now, here's the story, the back word on Mr. John. Mr. John was an Air Force pilot who ejected, for me, in Vietnam era. And this is me. I'm no military person, certainly not an Air Force. But I think if you eject out of a plane, it's a bad day, okay? He had injuries from that, was able to get over that to a degree, and then worked an entire career as a commercial airline pilot. And now he's in his 80s. His home and everything is flooded. He is devastated. Teams worked there for 2 weeks. We tried to calculate maybe 400, 450 hours of volunteer service that were given on one home. That's phenomenal. That is not normal as such. But they had worked there. The teams both went, came home, go down, come home. Weeks later, actually the first part of November toward Thanksgiving, I received a call from the pastor, First Baptist Church, Middleburg, Florida. And he said, Randy, this is so-and-so, and I recognized his name. He said, I just want to fill you in with Mr. John. He said, because of these volunteers that have come down there, this has made an impact on the man, and he never even met you, but he saw what you did and what the volunteers did. He said, at best, he was a nominal Christian, seldom attended church. When he did, it was always in the back seat, left before the invitation or when the invitation started, never stayed, didn't engage, no relationships with people. But something has happened through this when the volunteers came, because he kept asking, why would somebody from South Carolina come all the way down here to my little place and help me? He could not comprehend that. And he came to his pastor and he conveyed that confusion. His pastor explained, these people just care about you and they care about your loss. The end of the story was that Mr. John either made a first-time commitment to Jesus Christ, I'm not here to say which it was, or a genuine recommitment of his life to Jesus Christ. Radically impacted his life. And in the weeks following, he was there every time, engaged, a part of, and excited about what God was doing, participating in worship. God was at work in his life. And then before Christmas, Mr. John, because of the physical conditions, fell ill, spent 2 weeks in the hospital, and died. You don't know what that means to a group of volunteers from South Carolina who God's Spirit used to impact that man's life. That's why we do what we do. That response down in Florida was just one of many. More recent, the tornadoes in the upstate, Pickens County, Spartanburg County, and then continuing with rebuild efforts from the floods that we had in 15, as well as Hurricane Matthew in 2016. How do we do it? What does it look like? Very quickly, we have right at 150 different units, a unit being a trailer and equipment and stuff is tools and such as that. I'll run through these very, very quickly. These are just real general. And what we do, we've got recovery units that focus on this kind of stuff in the events after there's floods, or there's a picture there of a fire. Thank the Lord we don't have a lot of fires here in South Carolina. We joke and kid that it's about every decade that we have a really serious fire event here, and it's always in Horry County. Anybody live from Horry County down Myrtle Beach way? It's just low humidity, bad wind, and it's always the spring, and that's it. These pictures of the guys on the left, that's from Colorado, California, which seem to be the ones that have a lot of that stuff. But this is some of what we do with recovery units. It continues. The one on the left, the guy's doing the chainsaw work. We have more volunteers that do that kind of stuff than anything else. We have more than we often get to use. And then there's rebuild. You see, these are students that are helping with rebuild. That could be here in South Carolina. It could be after Hurricane Sandy, where we did a lot of that as well. And then we have these feeding units. There's two large ones, one in Charleston, one up in Spartanburg and then some smaller ones. We actually had, after the 2015 flood, right here at Riverland Hills Baptist Church, we had one of the larger feeding units set up. We had one of the smaller ones right down here in town, out off of where 277 comes into Bull Street and Elmwood and all of that. We were doing feeding right here in Columbia after the 2015 flood. Those are special needs. Personally, my opinion, I don't think I've ever had anybody argue with me the point, the hardest I've ever worked is on a feeding unit. You know why? If I'm cutting trees or I'm mudding out a house and I don't get through today, I can come back tomorrow. But if I'm on a feeding unit, we don't get through till the job's done. So you quit at midnight and start back at 4 a.m. That's tiring physically. We do a lot of different stuff, but starving people trumps everything we do. There's nothing more important in what we do in servicing humankind in times of need than feeding hungry people. That trumps it all. So it's feeding. It's a lot of fun, a lot of ways. I think we had students help us out here in Columbia after that 15 flood. It goes on with a lot of other units that we have. We do child care. We did that in Dallas during the Harvey event a few months ago. We had 2 weeks of volunteers go to Dallas and help do child care at the Dallas Convention Center. It was a nightmare. It was a disaster within a disaster. But nevertheless, we were able to participate and help with that a little bit. Chaplaincy permeates everything that we do. We get our lay chaplains engaged with every team that we send out. We want somebody that's point. We want every volunteer to be able to share their faith in Jesus Christ and very clearly be able to say, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. But we also want somebody that takes spiritual responsibility for that team of volunteers. So chaplains are there. Communications, we have a say the art kind of communication unit in South Carolina as well. We have the additional resources that let us occasionally do international things. When we can, the last time we had somebody from South Carolina was several years ago for the Nepal earthquake. A lot of our partner countries around the world are able to do their own responses and take care of a lot of their own needs now, so we're not called nearly as much. That other picture, the upper picture there, is a shower trailer. It's a mobile shower unit. And God's blessed us here through our little network. I've got more of those among South Carolina Baptists than any of my counterparts in the rest of the country. I got my predecessor for 20 years, every time a church or a group of people said, what can we do to get involved in disaster relief? He said, why don't you build a shower trailer? And they've done that. So now we've got these scattered all over and they get used all the time. You know why? We use them on mission trips, going to other states. We use them on church construction projects. We use them in our own communities when we're doing things, when we're hosting teams coming in. We use them every kind of way in addition to disaster relief. But it's great, it's fun to get to be a part of it. And then finally, the picture there that comes out of kind of some of the Matthew, that's a root ball from a tree. Okay, I don't know if you can really tell that, but it's uprooted there. We had one of our assessors, a lady, and sometime I have to apologize, some of my Bubba type disaster relief guys, older guys particularly, they get kind of like only the men can do certain things, you know? So we have these folks that go out and assess jobs. Like they go out with a form and they say, okay, what's the need? Okay, like if it flooded, you don't just say, well, the house flooded. Well, how deep did the water get? 3 inches or 8 feet? You know, and if the trees blew down, well, there's trees blown over. Well, are they on the house? They're on the car. They're blocking the drive. They're blocking the road in front of the house. Or are they just laying out in the yard? Are they this big or that big? Okay. You assess it. So we had one of our sweet ladies go out and assess a job, and she came back with her paperwork, and she said, this tree is like 14 feet around. And she was going home the next day, and the guys looked through the paperwork after she had left, and they said, I don't know what she was drinking or smoking, but it can't be that big. So they said, it can't be. So it laid there on the desk, and then finally they went out a couple, 3 days later. And sure enough, when you got to the tree that uprooted, it wasn't this one, it was much, much larger. It was a tree that uprooted across the driveway, okay? But when the big old top of the tree fell over, it was so large that held the trunk of the tree up. It would take four men to reach around it, fingertip to fingertip. The driveway was under the tree, and you could still drive a full-size pickup truck up and down the driveway under the trunk of the tree, okay? I never did get those guys to apologize about what they thought about the first assessor. We do a lot of trees, but I would say pass on that one. We're volunteers, and we're doing the best we can with what we've got and what God has entrusted to us. It's an opportunity that we have in the midst of this time to help people who are hurting. And I close with this. What does it take to make a disaster? Is it a Maria? Is it a Irma? Is it a Harvey? Is it a Hugo? You know, do you have to have a certain number of people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, or 100 people that are impacted before it's a disaster? Or maybe it's only a disaster if it makes the evening news or you get it popped up on your phone. That makes a disaster. No. A disaster is an experience that just one person has in their life. It can be some kind of natural disaster. It can be a man-made terrorist disaster. It can be an everyday life disaster. So here's the disasters going on in my little community right now. I don't know that it would have been on the media here in the Midlands. It's a little far removed. But all of our news for the weekend beginning yesterday, and it began yesterday, I went by the courthouse. This is our local disaster that's going on now. It has nothing to do with natural disasters. But it's a group of parents and children and teachers from Townville Elementary School that started the pretrial things that have to take place yesterday. I attend Sunday school, I attend church in the same Sunday school class with the media director from the Townville Elementary School where that shooting happened a little over a year ago. And now for Jamie and her fellow teachers and students, they're going through a disaster. A disaster standing on the shores of Lake Murray right here when a family is frantically praying and watching while the DNR guys, the dive team, are looking for a family member. You and I are surrounded by disasters every day of our life. What we have to do is pray something that an old guy named Henry Blackaby taught me back in the 70s. Look for where God is at work. See where God is already working, Randy, in your life and in your world. And then make whatever adjustments you've got to make to work with Him. And then ultimately take that step of faith to work where God is working. You and I have the opportunity to do that every single day. Pray with me. Father, we're grateful this morning for the opportunity that you've given us for a few minutes just to pause and focus on this uniquely different kind of ministry and work. Precious Lord, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to do it in spite of all of the mistakes, in spite of the absolute total ignorance on my part of how to do it and how to do it well. And Lord, I come back again today to say that's a good thing because it's not what Randy did, it's what Jesus has done. It's what your Spirit has done. It's what you have done in spite of all the mistakes that I make. God, I thank you for this very special time on this Tuesday morning to worship you with this student body, this faculty, this leadership. God, I thank you for what you're doing on this campus, from this hill, from this point, not just in this community or even in our state, but for what you're doing around the world. I thank you for those folks that I know that are students, that were students, that are graduates of CIU, that have impacted my life directly. And may we see our opportunities as just that, through your grace and your mercy, that we continue to hone the gifts that you have given to us and allow your Spirit to use us in whatever way you would choose to use us. So again, we thank you for this time. Pray that you'll just continue to guide us by your Spirit. Help us to see opportunities to serve each other through this day is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.